The most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved, by Mother Teresa.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey everyone, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz, podcast number 180, and today we are going to tackle the problem of loving the unlovable. I want to thank Elephant Learning, who has been our network sponsor. You can find more information at elephantlearning.com/mediaangels. And please listen to us on the website at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, where you will find the show notes, as well as on iTunes. And please go ahead and give me a star rating. I'd really appreciate that. And any comments that you have, you can leave on this podcast on the website. Well, when we talk about the unlovable, who are we talking about? All of us have life changes and life challenges, but possibly one of the most difficult is dealing with those people in our lives that give us the most stress. And, you know, if we are under constant stress, it can really affect our health. And all kinds of things health-wise are related to stress. So in today's podcast, I want to leave you with some help, I think, that will, give you some solutions, but also food for thought. And this is something that I've struggled with in my own personal life, with family members, extended family, people who are in my circle of friends and outside influences. And, you know, because of sin in the world, that's why we have to deal with those who are unlovable and those that we cannot possibly love for whatever our valid reasons are. You know, people can be cruel, vindictive, hostile, irritable. There are all kinds of reasons that, you know, we have difficulty perhaps loving someone. And, you know, we can always have that person that points out that we're wrong, they're right, and we're the enemy. And, you know, in today's climate, especially when there's this vast difference of political opinion, and the new flavor of the month, so to speak, is unfriending. You know, everybody's unfriending everybody else on Facebook, and that seems, you know, to be the new face of the enemy, and that's anyone discussing politics. But truthfully, it can happen at any time. And I'm not going to tell you that whoever comes to mind when you are thinking about, you know, who in your life is that unlovable person. And whoever that is, you know, it may be one person, it could be a list of people, it could be someone in your family or friends or outside influences, or even someone in your church or social circle. The point of this podcast is not to diminish that there's a problem, or that, you know, there is anything that we could possibly say that is going to change that person. But what I hope that you'll take away from this is that you can see an amazing change. And, you know, it comes from a likely source if you are a Christian, and an unlikely source if you're not. You know, I remember attending a parenting class as a young mom. I was all excited because there was this, you know, big name speaker coming into town, and he was going to tell me how I was going to deal with my unruly toddler. And when the speaker started to share his take on this, how this would happen and how it would take place, he started with, we needed to change ourselves and the way we interacted with our child. And I was stunned. I don't know what I expected, some miracle formula or some do A but not B to get your, you know, child to come to first time obedience. I mean, I really wanted my money back. I was so furious. And on reflection later in conversations with my husband, I realized that what the speaker was saying was that if we were consistent, if we expected our child to listen the first time, but then said things like, you know, come here, you better come here right now. You better come or I'm going to count to 10. Okay, now I'm going to start counting. All right, 1, 2, well, you get the message, right? If we mean it, we need to do it. And the only person that we could change right then was ourselves. And really, a lot of that is the same when you're dealing with the unlovable. It is a difficult thing to do because you are dealing with another person. You are not just dealing with yourself, but you may be dealing with a situation. You may be dealing with somebody who is in a self-destructive pattern. You know, there could be all kinds of issues involved here. So it's more than just, you know, a simple thing like a toddler who is not listening. But friends, let me tell you that many times, especially as I think about parenting and taking this one situation, I've had to pray to the Lord to give me the love for my child that I felt was lost because I was always reprimanding this child. And it was a very difficult situation, and people made all kinds of excuses because my child struggled academically, that this was a root cause because, you know, the child struggled academically, then he was going to have trouble listening and doing what he was told. And there were times when his life was in danger. Like, I walked into the grocery store one time and I put my daughter in the grocery cart, and I turned around and my son had darted outside, you know, those doors that open automatically. And I mean, I had to leave my daughter and run after my son and grab him before he ran into the street. And of course, he's giggling and laughing, and I just want to strangle him and go run back inside and get my, you know, 1-year-old sitting in the cart. And at the time, you know, my son was 3. And there were a lot of things that needed to happen before there were changes. And one of the things that had to happen was me taking some time and a deep breath and really focusing on that child, his behavior, and his response to me. But I had difficulty loving him because I was so angry most of the time. And so I'm coming to you not as someone who's going to be throwing all of these, you know, esoteric ideas at you, but someone who really struggled with this myself, you know, on a very personal level. And, you know, I can say there's a happy end to the story. We're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, I want to discuss overcoming this huge obstacle in your life and how to not let it get us down. We'll be right back. Did you know that math is the foundation of all learning? Hi, Felice Gerwitz here with a special offer. Elephant Learning uses the way children naturally learn math to increase their ability at an early age. This program identifies where they are mathematically, what they understand and don't understand, and then provides your child experiences custom tailored to their personal level for learning. They cover a wide range of mathematical concepts for ages 2 through 9. If a child accelerates, this program takes them forward. If they need remediation, it gently takes them back to a more appropriate level. Elephant Learning wants math to be fun. It's like a game, a puzzle that engages your child, and when you step in as a parent and play mathematically at the level they understand, they love it. Get a free math assessment for your child by signing up for their 14-day free trial at elephantlearning.com. Or for our special Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network offer, visit elephantlearning.com/media angels. So if you want your child to be prepared at an early age to succeed in math and all the other subjects, check out this free trial at elephantlearning.com/media angels. Hi, everyone. everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz, and today our topic is The Unlovable. It is podcast 180. You can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Look for podcast 180. And I want to thank our sponsor, Elephant Learning. You can find more information at elephantlearning.com/mediaangels. Love begins at home, and it's not how much we do, but how much love we put into that action. And that's from Mother Teresa. When we think about Mother Teresa, there's not a whole lot unlovable there, right? She did things with all of her heart. And yet after her death, we learned that she struggled, that there was a dryness in her life. And at times she didn't hear the Lord. And yet she continued on with a mission that he had entrusted and given her early on. When I think about what it is to be unlovable, it's something that affects all of us. You know, I had a hard time, as I shared with you, with one of my very determined sons. And, you know, even going to that parenting class to try to get some insider help. At one point, when I prayed to the Lord, I prayed, Lord, please heal me, give me the grace to love him. Because I thought, how horrible, how can any mother not love their child? And, you know, at this time I was thinking, you know, this child of mine was given to me by the Lord to test my patience, to try me, and, you know, to do, I didn't know what, you know, because everything in my life was wonderful. And I got along great with my husband. My little daughter was a dream. And yet I had this little tornado in my life. And, you know, it recalls another saying from Mother Teresa, and there's going to be a lot of scripture in this talk today. But she said, whatever you do for your family, for your children, for your husband, for your wife, you do for God. All we do, our prayers, our work, our suffering is for Jesus. And that is so true. And I remember God giving me that grace to love my child no matter what was happening or how many times I had to, you know, scold him for something or put him in timeout or take away a privilege. And I remember sharing, I may have shared this on a past podcast if you've been a longtime listener, but when this child got older and could drive, I remember something happened and I was upset with him, nothing new. And I said to him, you know what? I am so upset with you right now that I don't even know what your punishment is going to be, but I'm going to pray to the Lord and ask. And that was the first time my kids had ever heard that, you know, and here's my son, you know, as a teen, and my daughter was also a young teen. And I had never actually done that before, but I had been praying and praying to the Lord to help me, to give me advice on how to, you know, deal with my children, especially as they were getting older. And the perfect punishment for him anyway was that he would hang his car keys in the laundry room, which is where we kept all of our keys, whereas he was taking his keys in his room. And, you know, that really was an effective punishment. And my children never rolled their eyes or laughed again when I said I was going to pray about a punishment. And my, you know, subsequent children all know that if mom's praying, that it's going to be very possibly something that is going to be an effective solution. So we definitely can pray to the Lord and get his help. Matthew 25:40, you know, it truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me. Love tends to be what other people do for us. Instead, Christian love emphasizes turning the other cheek and doing things for people who cannot do anything back for us. When we do something for the less fortunate, we gain nothing back, right? But there are all these people I know that love to be on the mission field and love to do things for others. And, you know, they do it hopefully for the self-giving purpose. But sometimes I've heard people talk about the fact that they're missionaries with this persona that they're better than everyone else because they have given of their time. And, you know, it's not, a good can be a bad too, right? I ended up loving my son with a self-giving love that expected nothing back, and the Lord really has answered that prayer. He hasn't changed now that he's a young adult. Sometimes his life choices are still not the best, like drinking an abundance of energy drinks, which are detrimental to his health. But then I'm reminded he could be drinking an abundance of alcohol, which he doesn't. Or he takes part, you know, just recently he took a part-time job. Well, it was a short-term job, is probably more effective. It was only 5 weeks. Instead of taking a full-time job because he liked the other job's hours better. You know, there are things that we can do to guide and instruct our children for our own peace of mind, but they can only be suggestions, and we have to let our kids fail sometimes, don't we? And the same thing with those that we have difficulty in loving. We must leave judgment to God, yet we cannot compromise our faith, our values, just because others see it differently. We must leave to God what he only has the eyes to see, and that is the entire story. Sometimes when I've been faced with people that I don't know well and I look at their situations, I'm quick to judge, and I have to remind myself that I'm only seeing them at this particular moment in time. I don't know their history. I don't know anything else beyond what I'm seeing right now, and so I have to give it to the Lord and let him deal with it. Mother Teresa said it's impossible to judge someone and love them at the same time. And that's another one of her timeless nuggets of truth. People who are unlovable need our love. They don't need our condemnation. And most likely they have enough of that. You know, earlier I gave you, it was a list, but I didn't really say it as a list, like family members, extended family, and those who are in our circle of friends and outside influences. So that could be 1, 2, 3, and 4. However, as I was going through that list and thinking, you know, I really found in my life that doing any of these things has been really helpful. So I want to share them with you. You know, there's that saying, treat others as you want to be treated, but we can treat others the way they treat us, but that's not how the Lord would treat them, right? So you remember that saying that was very popular some years ago, what would Jesus do? And people either loved that saying or hated it, but it really caused you to think, right? I remember having a sign up by our television, that's the little plaque that said, what would Jesus do? To remind everyone turning on that television that if there was anything at all objectionable, we needed to change the channel. So number one, treat others the way the Lord would treat them, instead of how they're treating us. So it's not the eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, right? It's more, turning the other cheek and trying to treat them with compassion. Number two, remember that we are all unlovable at times. Get to the root cause of the issue if you can. If it's beyond your ability, for example, a loved one who's in a destructive pattern, then seek help. Remember to balance tough love with compassion. My third point is, the more you love God, the more grace he will pour into a situation. At times, I've released my family members into God's very capable hands. I surrender them and ourselves, our relationships, and even my friends I've surrendered. And when I have, miracles have happened. Romans 8, I love all of Romans 8, but Romans 8, 38, 39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. If we are doing things for the Lord, he will pour out his blessings beyond measure. And that's what's happened with my relationship with my older son, the one that, you know, did so much as a child to really push my patience to the limit. And I love that. I love him. I love who he is. And yet there are so many things he still does that I don't love. But the Lord has given me that ability to separate what he does from who he is. And he loves the Lord, and I love that about him. He loves others. He recently, in this job, the short-term job that he took, they were doing some things. They were putting up these shelves. It's a whole business. I didn't even know that this was out there. But they hire temporary help as well as their long-term people that they actually fly into different areas to set up stores. So they were setting up this hardware store. And my son was one of the temporary helpers. Well, there was a lady he was working with, and he even told me, you know, how old she was. And I believe she was in her late 60s. And he was searching around the garage for knee pads that he was going to bring to her for work. And, you know, my other son was like, oh my gosh, you're going to lose them. And do you know how expensive they are? And, you know, and yet my husband and I were both very touched that my son would care. You know, that he would care enough about a total stranger so she wouldn't be on her knees and have difficulty kneeling on the hard floor. So there are so many wonderful things about him. Yes, he did manage to lose something that he did bring. It wasn't the knee pads, but he lost a hammer that was, you know, one of my husband's hammers. And they're pretty expensive. But anyway, you know, he does end up being true to form in so many different areas. But like I said, God gave me that grace to love him beyond what he does. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about with love is I heard a sermon recently at church where, you know, there was the discussion about love and how we love things that do something for us. For example, why do people love roses or love flowers? Because they're aesthetically beautiful. It does something for us. Why do we love our spouse? Maybe they're attractive to us, you know, and that's why, you know, we love them. Or, you know, it's more of love is what it does for us instead of what we're giving. And when you look at love like that, you're like, gosh, that's horrible. You know, that's such a narcissistic type of way to look at love. But it's really true. And years ago, my mother used to say to me, when you light a candle, you know, because we were big on, you know, lighting a candle when you said a prayer. And she would always say, use an unscented candle. And for years, I had no idea what she really meant by that. And when I asked her one time, she said, because the scent of a candle is pleasing to you. And when you light a candle and you're doing, you know, you're lighting a plain candle and that doesn't evoke any smell or anything that is going to be, you know, aesthetically pleasing. And so it's just a reminder to quiet down and to focus on the Lord. And so, you know, I would remind myself of that, you know, even as an adult, whenever I would light a candle, when I was praying, I would leave an unscented candle lit. So that every time I walk by the room or I would see that lit candle, I would be reminded to continuously pray for whatever that situation is. Number four, serve others when there is no way they can repay you. Again, Matthew 25:40, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did it for me. Expect nothing in return, Matthew 5:46. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that, you know? And it goes on, and you know, we've heard the sermon, I'm sure, about, you know, even enemies love. And so how are you different than a sinner? You know, you're different because, you know, of your capacity to love, and you're different because of your capacity to love those that are unlovable. And that, my friends, is the mark of a Christian. Sometimes the ones hardest to love are those who need our love the most. And that is another thing that I realized that was so true. You know, those who are hardest to love are the ones who need us to love them. Friends, love is doing things for others, putting others first, but not neglecting your needs. And that needs to be addressed. You know, women are martyrs, and I'm talking about myself. You know, you give, and then you wonder why you have nothing left to give. And the only way that we can continuously give is to have God fill us with the grace that we need by His Holy Spirit in our lives. So I want to leave you with prayer and also with a saying from Mother Teresa. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I praise you and I thank you for this time with my friends. I ask that you give us the infilling of your Holy Spirit to guide us, to help us to love those in our lives that are the hardest to love. Please, Lord, I ask that you give us the ability to surrender them into your capable and loving hands. And please, Lord, give us the grace to continue to do this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And Lord, allow us to be more like your servant on earth, Mother Teresa, who said, "People are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It is never between you and them." God bless everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.